Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience when you want to adjust your ability to adjust your loan options in real time. Folks, remember this. Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 40 minutes away. Tony Pauline's going to join us. Damn it, I'm going to get to this Julian Edelman thing at some point. We got calls coming out the wazoo here. I got Pierno, who has a glorious top five that's coming up in 20 minutes. Hello, Pierno.
Oh, you know it, Kenny. What's up, buddy?
How you been, man?
What's
been
up? Good? Yeah, can't complain too much.
It's good to hear your voice, Pierno.
All right, so you want our top five, right?
Yeah, I want the subject for it. You know, we gotta do that because it's a... Last week, it was top five WrestleMania matches of all time. There was some controversy to it. Boy, I feel bad for you when you put your top five out, because you always come with good reasoning, and then you put it on Twitter, and last Saturday, who's this idiot with his top five, Ken? I'm going, guys, Pierno is great. You got to respect Pierno and his top five.
You see,
okay?
people don't listen. You see, if they actually got the reasoning behind it, I think they would appreciate it a lot more in a lot of instances.
There you go.
You see the list, and then, you react, and it's not good.
Yeah.
You're right, but I didn't see that. I didn't see someone say that. Oh wow. They just
I try to keep you shaded from that.
Gotcha.
I try to protect my Pierno. Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right. Well, this week we got some news this week that Alfred Molina, who he played Dr. Octopus in the Spider-Man 2 movie with Sam Raimi and the Tobey Maguire trilogy.
He confirmed
that he's coming back as Dr. Octopus in the new Spider-Man movie, which is coming out in December. So I said, let's do our top five favorite movie villains.
Okay, you swerved me, thank God. See, this is how you know me. This is how you took good care of me, Pierno, because you know when you mentioned Spider-Man, I'm like, dude,
I'm staying away from the comics.
And I got nothing against them. I know that everybody likes them. For the people who like that type of thing, that's the thing that those people like, and plenty of people like those things, so I know I'm in the minority there. Top five movie villains. Okay, Jenny from Forrest Gump. Adrian from Rocky. No, I'm kidding.
I like that. Well, there'll be a twist on it.
It's going to be hard for me to not go Batman, because that's the one superhero movie series that I can't get enough of.
That's it. The Joker is a great villain.
Yeah. Man, I think I'd be willing to say just about every single person who's played the Joker has been great. Even Mark Hamill in the animated series. It was Mark Hamill, right? It was the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
In the
he voiced
series.
It. He was great. Yeah. He was great.
I mean, that animated series was so good. I mean, that was the cat's ass, that animated series. But going back to Vincent Price to now, to Heath Ledger and to Joaquin Phoenix, like those, I mean, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Everybody who's played the Joker, I've been enamored by. It's... Do you think, when you think about this, real quick, and I don't want to get back to the phones and everything like that, we focus so much on who plays Batman. Has the person who's played Joker been the more legendary actor? Like, have they been the better actor, the person playing the Joker? Like, Heath Ledger, God rest his soul, like, a lot of people are like, yeah, Heath Ledger, yeah, just a pretty face, that, and then they saw that role.
I mean, first off, I don't know how people didn't realize before that movie how talented he was.
I understand.
I find that hard to believe, but I agree with you. Yeah, there were people like, are you kidding me? This guy is playing, yeah, the Joker?
Yep.
Yeah.
But, like people are like, oh, Ben Affleck, yeah, Batman, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, man, when you look at the actors who play the Joker, those are the big deal. By the way, was Vincent Price the Joker or the Penguin? Am I mixing these up? Who was it? Cesar Romero was the Joker, right?
Yes, in the original.
There we go.
The Adam West Batman. Yeah, he was the Joker.
Thank you. That's some nice camp stuff. I like that. I like nice campy stuff. That's fun. 855-212-4CBS. That's some good stuff right there. Pierno, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hey, by the way, I know you've never been engaged.
No, I have not.
Between A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez, who gets to keep the ring?
Who cares about these celebrity couples? First off, these people shouldn't even be getting married in the first place.
Nah, they can get married if they want to.
Listen,
who are you to stand in the way of love?
Come on. Hey, listen, honestly, let's be honest now. What do most people get married in general, right? Is that, you know, they find somebody that's willing to have sex with them for the rest of their life, you know, to put up with them.
Wrong.
You know, you're rich.
Wrong.
You're rich, you're powerful,
wrong.
You have money. You don't
wrong.
Need to worry about that kind of stuff. You can get it whenever you want. So,
wrong.
You know, don't worry about the marriage. They all wind up getting divorced anyway. It's so
stupid. That's not
stupid.
True. Only 50% of them end up getting divorced. Tom Hanks has been with his wife forever.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
The rare exception.
How you like that? Boom, take that. It is a rare exception. You're right. Not everybody is Liz Taylor getting married 8, 9, 10 times, whatever it was. All right? Maybe you're wrong about that.
The majority of them are.
Your reasoning for people getting married is skewed. This is how people know you've never been married. The reason you get married is not because you have sex with the same person for the rest of your life and you're okay with something like that.
No,
that
is, I mean, you actually find someone that's willing to do it with you. I mean,
okay,
you know,
that's still trite.
I mean,
the reason you get married is trust. That's the reason you get married. Or at least, to me, the building blocks of a successful marriage. Now, I'm not Dr. Phil over here. Hell, I'm probably better considering some of the advice that guy gives. I've said this before. The reason people get married is they found somebody that they trust enough that will not murder them in their sleep. Think about that for 2 seconds. You spend most of your life with that person for the rest of your life. There will be plenty of times where you are right next to that person. That person is awake. That person is got all their things going on. They are perfectly awake and well and can see you, and you are asleep. You're unconscious. You are as vulnerable as you're ever going to be. You're at your weakest point. You're asleep. That person can do whatever they want to you. While I'm sleeping and my wife is still awake, she could take a knife and end me at any moment. She can go into the closet, get a gun, and end me at any moment. And she doesn't.
And that has happened as well, though.
That has happened. I mean, that's, you know, you got to roll the dice every now and then. And sometimes you come up snake eyes. But most of the time, you find somebody who's not going to murder you in your sleep. That's marriage, Pierno. And when you find that person who you believe is not going to kill you in your sleep, Pierno, you are going to have a successful marriage.
Different when you have all that money and power.
That's true. That's true. That's true as well.
People throwing them at yourself, you know, all the time.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, you know, that's different. Yeah, that's true. Didn't think about that part. 855-212-4CBS. All right, let me get to Chad in Green Bay. Chad, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Chad, I got a question for you real quick. I'll let you go,
what's
right?
That?
Ready? Ready? Have you ever been divorced? Or have you ever
no,
been?
I'm
have
engaged. You? I'm engaged right now. I'm getting married
congrats.
In December.
So if your marriage doesn't work, if your engagement doesn't work out, do you get the ring back? How's that work?
We'll see. I'm not sure how that works.
I mean, I hope it doesn't go that way. I don't plan on it going that way. I wish you and your future wife, what's your wife's first name?
Her name is Mary Ellen. That's her first name, Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
two names.
She comes from a strong background. Her dad owns a bunch of companies, doesn't he?
He's passed away. God rest in peace for him.
Oh, well, I didn't know about that. Well, you know, what are you going to do? He still had a strong name. When the girl's named Mary Ellen, you know that her parents come from good stock. Okay. If you break off your engagement through your tears, you got to call me up and tell me if you got the ring back, okay? Hopefully you guys don't have to do that. All right, go ahead with what you were going to say.
I'll let you know. I want to go to player empowerment, but I heard you talking about Edelman, Hall of Famer or not, earlier on the break. So here's my thing from Green Bay. Like, I'll throw out some names. Sterling Sharp, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings. All have better numbers than Julie Edelman, and none of them are even going to sniff the Hall of Fame.
Oh!
So how are you going to say that Julie Edelman is a Hall of Famer?
Chad, I love you. I love you so much for this call, because you just put it on a tee. I'm gonna just knock it right out of the park here in a second. But what is that all you wanted to say now? Is that all you wanted to say, Chad?
Yeah, I'm going with that, yep.
All right, Chad, thank you very much for the call, and I wish you and Mary Ellen all the very best in life. You know I am an ordained minister, Pierno. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
Actually, I think you did tell me this once.
I have married people. I actually married my buddy. I got him and his wife married, and then I set him up with his divorce lawyer. It's a true story. Swear on this Bible that's on my desk right now. I got him his divorce lawyer after I married him.
So if I ever get married one day, maybe I'll have you come and do it.
I got a guy, if you need, he will take her to the cleaners. I'll tell you the rest of it off the air, but he got what he wanted. My buddy won out in this case. I will tell you that. 855-212-4CBS. About Julian Edelman, I'm glad Chad brought this up. I know we got top five coming up. I'll try to make this short. I don't think Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. I mean, Chad just rattled off a bunch of guys. Throw Antonio Freeman in there if you really want to as well. He might have said it. I don't know. I got blindsided by a couple of big names in there that were really, really good names of what Chad just said. I don't think Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. I don't. And I'm thankful that the Hall of Fame makes us wait 5 years and calm down before we put guys in the Hall of Fame. Because there's plenty of guys where, like a Philip Rivers, I wonder if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Because in 5 years, Drew Brees will also be a part of that class. Well, if you're putting in one quarterback because it's the most important position, you want them to have their time, you're not putting Philip Rivers in the same class as Drew Brees. Then after that, okay, what if Aaron Rodgers retires? What if Eli Manning goes? Well, Eli Manning retired before, so we'll get him before. What if Aaron Rodgers retires? What if Tom Brady retires? What if Ben Roethlisberger retires? These are first ballot Hall of Famers. You're going to put them in before. And also, our standards of greatness for quarterbacks are changing. It's become rings now. It's the NFL, thanks to Tom Brady, has become rings culture. But with that culture, and thanks to Tom Brady, I think while Julian Edelman doesn't deserve statistically to be in the Hall of Fame, I think he's getting in the Hall of Fame. If I look at the second dynasty, because the Patriots, you look at one 20-year dynasty, but really it's two separate dynasties over the course of 20 years. If I look at Dynasty 2, with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Brady's in the Hall of Fame, Bill's in the Hall of Fame, Gronk's in the Hall of Fame. That's three. Who else, and I talked to some people in Boston about this, Christopher Price helped me on this, because I wanted to make sure I got this right before I brought this to your guys' table. Is Welker a Hall of Famer? Yeah. Is Mankins a Hall of Famer? Matt Light never won a Super Bowl with them. So Matt Light may very well be a Hall of Famer. But I don't know if Matt Light is not part of that dynasty. When we look at dynastic teams, great teams, we got to put more than one or two or even three characters in. You go back to the 72 Dolphins for a comparison. Don Shula, Bob Greasy, Larry Zonka, Jim Langer, Leonard Little, Larry Little, Paul Warfield, Nick Bonacani, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys from the 72 Dolphins are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right off the top of your head. Shula, Greasy, Zonka, Langer, Little, Warfield, Bonacani. I'm only going to put in Bill, I'm only going to put in Tom and Gronk into the Hall of Fame out of that second dynasty? I don't think you can. And because of what Julian Edelman did in the postseason, while I saw the Warren Sharp tweet and I totally agree, it's not even close to the type of career that Hines Ward had. It's embarrassing to make the comparison to the type of career that Hines Ward had or any of these other wide receivers that Chad and Green Bay brought up. Remember, we're not looking at just stats. We're telling stories. Writers, media, we love a good story. We love to tell a good story. Say Julian Edelman after this is all said and done, and I know that there was a PED suspension in there as well. That part of the tale is told. But when you look at the great teams, how can I look at three great teams and say that only those three guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame from those three teams? I could very well tell you that the media, the voters who vote on this, they can't just leave three guys in. We love stories. Julian Edelman, what, seventh round pick? Was called up, was Bill Belichick, was begged, hey, take a look at this guy, he's fantastic. And I'll tell you this, myself as a media member, Julian Edelman was the quarterback of the Kent State Golden Flashes in the first ever college football game that I covered. The first ever game I covered as a member of the media, Kent State Akron, when he was the quarterback at Kent State and ripped Akron up and down the field. We love stories like that. A guy who was the quarterback at Kent State making great catches in the Super Bowl. The guy who's the quarterback at a Little Mac school, making catches in the Super Bowl, being the difference, being a Super Bowl MVP. Now, I'd look at that from a cold standpoint and say, there's no chance that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Hell, if you wanted to put him in the Hall of Fame, why don't you just make it like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and put Tom Brady in twice instead of putting Julian Edelman in? But I think we like to tell stories. I think that, no, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer or even a second, third, fourth, or fifth. But say Julian Edelman stays on the right path. Say he starts charity. Say he does good work. Say he does TV. Ends up in media. Maybe he makes a comeback with the Buccaneers later on this year when he gets his knee right. And maybe he goes out and maybe wins another Super Bowl with Tom Brady, for crying out loud. I think we're going to want to put him in. Might be 20 years from now. Might be 25 years from now. I think we're going to look back at that dynasty and go, how are three guys the only guys who get in? When we look at the highlights of the Super Bowl, well, I can tell the story of the NFL without Julian Edelman. I really can. I hate that argument for it. There's plenty of guys. I can't tell the story of the NFL if we're going by that maxim without David Tyree or Mario Manningham. I hate that argument for it. I know I can't tell the story of certain Super Bowls, obviously the one he's the MVP of, without Julian Edelman. So over time, we soften our stance, and we love to tell stories. We love to find anniversaries. We like good things. And if Julian Edelman stays on the straight and narrow and is good in the media and good in the community and is a beloved patriot and does TV and does all the things that you're supposed to do politically to get yourself in, I think Julian Edelman, while he should not have any chance in hell to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think Julian Edelman's getting in. 855-212-4CBS. Tony Pauline, 1140 a.m. Eastern. Up next, the top five movie villains of all time. Thanks to Anthony Pierno. It's Ken Carman, CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. Tony Pauline, 1140 a.m. Eastern. You hear the music. It's time for the top five movie villains of all time. Almost said music villains of all time. Is Yoko Ono in the top five music villains of all time?
Number one.
Yeah, probably is number one, right? All right. I will go first because mine are not nearly as good as yours, right?
Yeah, that's what we've been doing, yeah.
Ascending order, whatever we want to call it. So number five overall, even though I'm not, I saw these movies as an adult, and so I didn't get to enjoy it the way that other people would. It has to be Darth Vader in my top five. And the only reason it's not higher is because I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan ever. I'm not as psychotic about it as other people, which is, hey, you guys like Star Wars, that's cool. I know I'm in the vast minority there. But Darth Vader, It's defined a generation. Even if you never saw Star Wars, you did Darth Vader impressions. Darth Vader's number five. Number four, Heath Ledger's Joker. We kind of went over that already. Number three, I don't know how to pronounce the guy's last name. I've only seen this movie once. He's chilling. He's uncompromising. Anton from No Country for Old Men. Number two, I'm going to get an eye roll from Pierno, I guarantee it. Number two, Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. Was he even in your top five, Pierno?
No, he's not. But
all right.
I can understand where you're coming from, yeah.
You got to be – it's one thing to be like a Gordon Gekko. Like Gordon Gekko, he's in New York. It's the biggest city in the world. You're talking about the biggest players ever. Mr. Potter's the richest guy in Bedford Falls, upstate New York. And he wants to put the boots to about 7,000 townspeople and rule Pottersville with an iron fist. You got to be a real piece of garbage to want to go to some town of 7,000 people and ruin their lives and keep them beholden to you when it's just a little town and a lot of people go, I'll just move to the town next door. What the hell, are all the same? Just move to the other town of the Finger Lakes. But Mr. Potter's a nasty person, got all those people to believe in it. I got number two. Number one, Michael Myers. I love Halloween, love Michael Myers. Boom, that's my number one. Pierno, away you go.
All right, number five, I'm going to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I got to go with Thanos in Infinity War. The guy, listen, he defeated the Avengers for crying out loud, and he wiped out half the people in the world. And what makes many of the best villain arcs are that in which the bad guy does not believe that their actions are bad. They justify their needs with this self-righteous logic, and they act as if their actions are for the greater good. And that's what we have here with Thanos. He's a good villain because he believes he is the hero and that he is saving the universe by wiping out half of it. Not the most charismatic or the menacing villain, but again, he believes what he's doing is right, and most of the time, it's the good guys that prevail, but not here. In Infinity War, this time, the bad guy won, so Thanos is number five for me. He probably should be higher now. Number four for me is Vader. Like you, again, you made a great point. Even if you haven't seen the movies, I mean, you know who the guy is. But just an intimidating presence, the entire costume with the dark mask. He can't see the eyes. He's like soulless. He seems inhuman. And of course, he is part human, part machine. And then you add in James Earl Jones's the baritone voice, the Imperial March theme that we're listening to right now, and you just have this mysterious and imposing force on the big screen. And, just, and right from the introduction in the original film, we see him lift a rebel troop off the floor by his throat. He is pure evil. And then, you know, one of the few good things about the prequel trilogy is, you know, we get to learn that Vader is not straight supervillain like we see in the original trilogy. Things are a little bit more complicated. So I like that aspect of it. You know, those movies went back, the prequels, they went back to show his backstory. And we see him as a young boy. He's born into slavery, trained as a Jedi, was supposed to be the chosen one, and then was lured over to the dark side of the Force. So got Darth Vader there at number four. Number three, boy, these were tough. I got Hannibal Lecter, Silence of the Lambs, the great Anthony Hopkins. He's intelligent, manipulative. He's always six steps ahead. He's also very charming. Just a tremendous performance by Anthony Hopkins. And then you put that with the performance along with the dialogue and the filmmaking, and you just got a really creepy character. He killed you, and then he's going to eat all your organs. And then, again, even with the limited time that he's on the screen, like, he's on the screen for, like, I think it was 16, 17 minutes, they said. So even with that limited time on the screen, the character, he leaves this lasting impression and one of the most memorable in history. So Hannibal Lecter there at number three. Number two, I'm with you. I'm going back to No Country for Old Men with Anton. Javier Bardem does a terrific job, great acting job here. The character is just a complete psychopath. Just the way that he kills people so nonchalantly, it's chilling, but in a weird way, it's almost like comedic because it just killing is like breathing for him. It's like the character is not even human, almost like he's the Terminator. And he just has that cold stare. He's brutal. And any time that he interacts with a character, there's tension there because you have a pretty good idea of what is coming, and just his whole look. Just he's fascinating to look at with the haircut. It just and the ambiguous background. You know, his background is unclear, so that makes him really scary. So. Anton, number two. Number one, how about we go to Inglourious Basterds and Hans Landa, the great Christoph Waltz. I mean, just what a performance by Christoph Waltz. And what makes him such a great villain is that the danger here is in the normalty. Like, he's not some villain with superpowers. He's not trying, you know, he's just carrying out his duties. He's very well-mannered. He's polite. If he wasn't wearing that uniform, you would think that he's a great guy. He's a nice guy. And just, again, Christoph Waltz, he grabs your attention right from the get-go. That opening scene on the French farm there, one of the best opening scenes in film history. Waltz just, he steals the scene and everything that he's in. Just every time he's on, you just glue to him. And just the way that he speaks, the facial expressions, all of his mannerisms. He's unbelievable. And I forgot what Tarantino said. Tarantino either said he was close to scrapping this project altogether, or he would have if he couldn't have found the right person to play this character, Hans. And he found it in Christoph Waltz. He's just amazing. Again, that whole opening scene with him on the French farm, you know, him busting out that massive pipe. It's almost cartoonish, but it's all part of the integration process. It's an unbelievable performance. And the whole restaurant scene with the strudel, the way he stabs at it and eats it, he does it in such a violent way. It gives you pause. You know the guy's dangerous. I love this character, the performance. So Hans Landa, Inglourious Basterds, they're number one.
Boy, that's some good stuff there, Pierre. That is some good stuff. You going to put that on your Twitter? You going to put it out there for everybody?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, at Tony Pierno on Twitter. I received a disturbing text during that last segment, and I was trying to pay attention to Pierno the best I can. I will talk about that at noon Eastern, the disturbing text it's personal, too, so I share it with the whole country. Coming up noon Eastern. Up next, Tony Pauline joins us, Pro Football Network. We'll talk NFL Draft with him. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio right now. It's the latest sports update.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. I'm sharing this thing of texts coming up at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. We got to go to the hotline. We welcome in one of the best. Tony Pauline joins us, NFL Draft Analyst, ProFootballNetwork.com. Also, according to Twitter, a big Led Zeppelin fan. Tony, what's your favorite Led Zeppelin song?
Believe it or not, it's a song called Out on the Tiles. It's the last song on the first side of Zeppelin 3 for those of us who bought the albums back in the day. So, hands down, it's every... Plant's vocals are incredible. Page's guitar is top-notch, and Bonzo's in the back there banging away. So I also like 10 Years Gone as well as Achilles' Last Stand, but Out on the Tiles has always been my favorite.
Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com, joining us on the show. What's a band you hate?
Oh, hate? That's kind of a tough... I'm not a big Bruce Springsteen fan, which I know will raise a lot of eyebrows, and I know a lot of people are either driving their car up the road or unfollowing me on Twitter right now. But I've never been a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I hate him, but I've never been a big Bruce fan.
One day when I first started on my morning show, the producer, it was right after a Bruce Springsteen concert the night before. And I like Bruce Springsteen just fine. He's not like my top three, but I like Bruce Springsteen just fine. My producer professed his hate for Bruce Springsteen, and I got to tell you, it was the wrong move politically for the show. We struggled to get people back. It was a struggle.
That's why I say hate's a strong word. I just don't. You know, the media loved Bruce Springsteen and they hated Led Zeppelin, which kind of made that divide even greater between the two for me.
Tony Pauline joining us on the show. So Let me ask you this. Now, I've been very pro Justin Fields, very pro Justin Fields, very defensive of him. The betting favorite now is Justin Fields at number 3 overall. What do you think's real? What do you think's a smokescreen between he and Mac Jones?
I've said all along. In fact, I've been reporting for the past couple of weeks that Mac Jones to San Francisco 49ers at the third pick in all these mock drafts is very premature. I don't think Mac Jones deserves to be the third pick of the draft. I think Justin Fields physically is significantly better than Mac Jones. I don't know why people all of a sudden picked up the ball and ran with Mac Jones. Do I think Mac Jones is a possibility? Possibly. But I don't think he's the sure thing that people are penciling him in at. I think there's a very likely chance it's Justin Fields with Trey Lance as the outside shot. I spoke with Pierre Garçon earlier this week, and Garçon played for Kyle Shanahan for a number of years. Garçon said there's no way Kyle Shanahan's going to take Mac Jones. Justin Fields is the guy that fits his system.
Then why did Mac Jones get just blown out of proportions right there?
Talk to the people you're talking to the wrong guy, because the night that trade was made, I was on several shows saying, you know, that's not what I'm hearing, and people seem to run with it. But I think what happens at this time of year is, you know, you have a lot of people covering the draft now who only start covering once the Super Bowl's over. And somebody will say one thing, and then everybody else picks up the ball and runs with it. And I think that's what's going on with the Mac Jones selection. It could still happen. But there's no way, shape, or form he is the absolute favorite for that choice.
Tony Pauline joining us on the show. So what does Mac Jones do well, and what concerns you about Mac Jones?
I'll go with the latter first. Doesn't have the great physical skills. I mean, he doesn't have the big arm. He's not a guy that you're going to run a vertical offense with. He can't drive his deep passes. The long passes tend to float and sail. As far as what I like, the guy's a great field general. I mean, he's got it going on in between the ears. I was one of the people who thought that he was a beneficiary of the great talent surrounding him at Alabama. And then when I was at 3 days of Super Bowl practice, a Senior Bowl practice, I should say, it was almost like a seamless transition from the national title game to Senior Bowl practice, the way Mac Jones threw the ball. And I'm talking about the timing, the accuracy, the pass placement with receivers who were basically strangers to him. And really, I think that bodes well for him. So he's a field general. He's a guy who can play in a couple different offenses, different schemes. You got to have decent talent around him, and you can't expect him to throw the ball down the field consistently.
Tony Pauline joining us on the show. What do you? I mean, you said what you like about Justin Fields. What are the things I should be concerned about when it comes to him?
Well, there are legitimate concerns that he doesn't process the information as quickly as, say, Mac Jones. I know that rubs some people the wrong way. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, I have been reporting that since November, when Zach Wilson was climbing up draft boards. It means that, you know, I think with Justin Fields, you want to throw the ball down the field. Justin Fields legitimately has the strongest arm in this year's draft of the top quarterbacks. You watch the guy, he gets the ball downfield 55 yards with speed and spin. But the thing is, I think you don't want to have him go through a bunch of different reads to start off with. Maybe down the road you can ease him into that.
Tony Pauline with us on the show. Okay, give me a lot of people take aim at Trey Lance. A lot of people have. He's played the same amount of games in college football as Mac Jones. What do you like about Trey Lance? And then, I guess, the same question with all the other ones. What concerns you? Because I think it's weird. It's almost like there's a Carson Wentz element to it that sets him up for people to not like him or whatever reason. I just don't think we've seen as much Trey Lance as we wish we would have.
And that's it. I don't think it's Carson Wentz. I think it's Dwayne Haskins, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, in the sense that these underclassmen that started a single year on the college level and then entered the draft, history has not been kind to them in the NFL. Now, to Trey Lance, it wasn't anything that Trey Lance did, because North Dakota State decided to play one game this fall and push their season back to the spring. So you can't blame Trey Lance. But the fact is this, he's only played one season. He was tremendous the one season he played, but he has a very thin body of work, which is disconcerting. It's a situation where if you draft Trey Lance, you may have to sit him for a year for the best thing for the team as well as for Trey Lance. As far as what I like about him, I mean, after Trevor Lawrence, the guy is probably the most complete package when you look at size, arm strength, foot speed, the ability to get outside the pocket and make the throws, the ability to take off up the field and pick up yardage with his feet, but he's not quite there yet. And my concern with Trey Lance is if you draft him early and you stick him on the field or you expect him to be your starter early on, he may never get there because there will be so the curve will be so steep, not just the learning curve, the competition curve, the conditioning curve, the attention to detail curve. So I think with Trey Lance, if you do what say Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes, you could have a real good quarterback on your hands 2-3 years down the road.
Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com with us. Okay, so Bill Belichick, it's been rumored that he's going to try to make a big jump. Denver, we don't know necessarily what they're going to do. They could be a wild card. They could trade up. They could go after Teddy Bridgewater or something like that. Those two teams, their quest for quarterbacks, what do you think they need to do?
What, I don't think that Denver's going to move up. I don't think they want to give away the draft capital to move up because I'm sure Atlanta is kind of rubbing their hands looking at what San Francisco gave up to move to number three. Granted, it's not going to be the same, but it's going to be kind of steep. I am told that right now, and draft meetings are still going on, so the strategies are still being formulated and opinions are being thrown out there. The draft meetings are lasting longer this year than they have in past years because of the COVID situation and guys who hadn't played, but the feeling is Denver may just sit there and maybe trade down rather than trade up and see which quarterback falls into their laps and then make their decision. I'm also told that there's a possibility that Dallas could trade down if the right offer is given to them. They could trade down and take an offensive tackle like Christian Darius or take a linebacker like Zaven Collins, and a team like the Patriots or maybe the Bears, who seem desperate to come out of this draft with a quarterback, could move up into that slot and take whatever quarterback is available. I think any of those teams, like the Patriots, who are 15, moving up to number four, that is a massive leap. And, you know, again, we saw what the San Francisco 49ers gave away in draft capital. You're going to have to really be sold on that quarterback, and that's going to be your guy of the future.
What should Cincinnati do? Because I really like Kyle Pitts, Tony, and Ja'Marr Chase is there, and I know they have to protect Joe Burrow, but I don't want to just take a position just to take a position highly.
And I understand what you're saying. You know, drafting for need, especially that early, could lead to ruin. But you know what? Penei Sewell is a damn good left tackle. I mean, he's one of the top prospects in this year's draft who gets overlooked because everyone's talking about the quarterbacks and the pass catchers and the sexy positions. And even though it's always been a priority position come draft weekend, left tackle is not one of those sexy positions, but you got to protect Joe Burrow. And with Penei Sewell, they're not just getting filling a need. They're getting a real good prospect at the left tackle position, a highly rated prospect, a guy that people expect all along to go top three or top four with the fifth selection of the draft.
Okay, so Tony, is there a player here that we just don't talk about enough in the top 15 that we really should talk about that you believe is going to be a strong difference maker?
Zaven Collins, the outside linebacker from Tulsa, 6'5", 249 pounds, ran in the 4.6s at his pro day. Watched the film the past 2 years at Tulsa. The guy was a difference maker. Difference maker rushing the passer, a difference maker stacking against the run. He can play in coverage. A lot of people may remember that Friday night game against Tulane that went into overtime. He intercepted the pass and brought it back some 90 yards for a touchdown to win the game. The guy's a pre-med major. He's got it going on between the ears besides the athleticism. Here's the thing. Zaven Collins at 6'5", 249 pounds, 20 years ago, is a top 10 pick. But the league has moved towards these safety-sized linebackers, guys that are 220, 222 pounds, and can run like the wind laterally as well as up the field. But Zaven Collins is your throwback type guy, and he's someone who is a three-down defender, who is a forceful guy, who I think is probably going to go somewhere in the middle of round one. But 2 or 3 years down the road, people are going to wonder why this guy wasn't a top 10 pick.
Going back to Penei Sewell for a moment, I mean, you said how good he is. Why? It's so weird because I hear the stuff about Justin Fields and I go, that's ridiculous. You can't say anything about a guy personally. But people are talking about like a work ethic with Penei Sewell. How do you balance that out, Tony?
You got to, you know, what you do is, as far as the scouts are concerned, they talk to the coaches. They will talk to the coaches at Oregon. They will talk to the position coaches, the offensive line coach, the head coach. And they will come to basically some sort of middle point as to you know, is this a guy who is the first to show up and the last to leave, or is this a guy who's the last to show up and the first to leave? But the fact is this, is you can't argue about Penei Sewell's film the past, during his, I shouldn't say the past 2 years because he didn't play in 2020, 2018, 2019, his freshman and sophomore year, because he was big, he was athletic, he's a terrific pass protector at 6'5", 331 pounds. He moves well on his feet, and he can get out in the second and even the third level, take out linebackers or even defensive backs. So the underlying talent is there. As far as the work ethic, you're just going to have to ask people in the Oregon program and see what their opinions are of him.
Follow him on Twitter, and it's not just because we agree with each other on Justin Fields. Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com. Take care, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Tony Pauline joining us on the show. Big Led Zeppelin fan as well. Led Zeppelin's good music. I used to hate Pink Floyd back in the day. They've grown on me a little bit. I'm not necessarily the biggest Floyd fan. On the Turning Away, for whatever reason, On the Turning Away is probably my favorite Floyd song. Run Like Hell's a pretty good song. A couple other songs by Floyd are pretty decent. I don't like Money. I think it's been overplayed. The Wall. I hated The Wall as a kid. But, I'm different. I'm weird in comparison to other kids. 855-212-4CBS. Love what he said about Justin Fields. I'm going to get into that Justin Fields stuff coming up. Work or shoot, 12:20 p.m. Eastern. We got Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. He joins us 12:40 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk to him about the draft. We'll talk to him about some of the other movement in the NFL, whether or not Teddy Bridgewater is the guy for the Denver Broncos. That one coming up. Love the stuff we heard from Tony Pauline there. And when I do the mock draft 3.0, I haven't filled him in yet, coming up at 1 o'clock. I don't know what I'm going to do for Cincinnati. Because I got an idea what I would do if I were Cincinnati. I don't know what I'm going to do for Cincinnati on that. No clue. Because I have an idea of what Cincinnati should do, but I got nothing right. I got nothing on a case of what I think they're going to do. 855-212-4CBS. All that, and I got to get your help on a personal crisis. Pierno's going to wish he was in the next segment. I got to ask America a question. I got to ask everybody else a question, too. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.